Welcome to the Can It Cook podcast. We hope you'll be encouraged to have an I'm third approach as you navigate family, leadership, and spiritual growth. If you're new to our conversation, welcome. It's so great to have you. Let's jump in. Welcome to the Can It Cook podcast. We are so excited that you've joined us today, and we are excited for the show that we are bringing. We've got an awesome guest with us, and today we are going to be talking about resilience. So I'm going to pass it over to my teammate, Joe. Joe, welcome to the show. Glad you're here. Introduce our guest today.
We do have a great guest today, BA, and I am really tickled. I'm sitting here smiling from ear to ear, thinking about the chance to get introduce our guest today. He is our chief caregiver. He's our chief listener. He's our chief Sunday school teacher. He's our chief Bible scholar. He's also our chief business officer, but he's a whole lot more than that.
That's right.
Beth Ann. His heart is for discipleship. His heart is for people. His heart is for the ministry of Can It Cook Ministries. People want him on their boards of director. He's very, very wise. He has broad shoulders. And over the last 10 years, this organization has grown to love John Jensen. 10 years ago, on July 7th, 2014, we took a giant leap forward when John decided to leave Houston, Texas, where he was overseeing a very large company. But I think John wanted to come to the country, and I think he wanted to get his wife into a place where she could have a couple of horses in her backyard. And so John moved to the woods. And John Jensen, we're thankful you're here, but I just want to say that something surprising happened to you out of the middle of nowhere, like a lightning bolt on October 23rd, 2023. Please tell us what happened, John.
Well, thanks for having me. And first of all, last 10 years have been an amazing journey at Can It Cook. My wife and I are blessed to be part of this community and just amazing fellowship and people that are all on mission to reach kids and families. So we're blessed to be here. But as part of our annually, my wife and I take a break, and we always try to do a vacation together. And we decided to plot a 12-day trip to Colorado, which included a wedding of my niece. And while we were down there in October, I had a medical event and passed out. And my wife found me in the middle of the night, passed out on the floor. And through a series of events, them trying to figure out what was going on and taking me into the emergency, they took me by ambulance into a regional hospital in this little tiny town in Colorado. And I'd cracked my head when I fell. And they did a quick scan of my head to make sure there was nothing wrong there. And they found a brain tumor. And so immediately they prepared a life flight to send me to a trauma one center that had neurosurgeons and things like that. So within 30 minutes, I was on a helicopter and I'm flying over the Rocky Mountains to Colorado Springs. And by 8 a.m., it was 4 a.m. when I passed out. By 8 a.m., I was in Colorado Springs. And they were talking about, oh, he's got a tumor and we need to figure out how to get in there and take it out. So, so it was pretty shocking experience. In fact, I tell people that as I was flying over the Rockies, if you're my generation, you might appreciate this, but I'm in a helicopter flying over the Rockies, laying on my back, looking out at the Great Sand Dunes National Monument. And in the back of my head was just the MASH song playing. I was just like, is this how it ends? Like, I just go out over the mountains in the helicopter and I'm done. So, but the Lord wanted me to stick around a little bit longer. So a few days later, I had surgery. They took out an inch and a half tumor out of my front right lobe, as well as most of the rest of it. So they removed most of my front right lobe. And then over a period of about 45 days, I dealt with a number of other complications, some swelling from spinal fluid, and then ultimately an infection. So they had to do a brain wash in early November, and I got to spend Thanksgiving in the ICU, which is not the best place to spend Thanksgiving, I can tell you that. But anyways, we got to come home December 1st, and we're on this road, you know, how to deal with brain cancer, and 2 days we start radiation treatment in St. Louis. So we're on this journey.
In 2 days, you start radiation.
Yep.
And John, what is in your future as far as treatment is concerned?
Yeah, so we'll, my wife and I are moving to St. Louis. Radiation's 5 days a week for 6.5 weeks. We'll have 33 treatments. And we'll do that treatment. Once that's done, assuming it's successful, then we'll come back to Branson, have a month break. And then right now I'm scheduled April 17th to begin chemotherapy treatment. And that'll last for 9 to 12 months, depending on how long it takes to take care of everything they need to do in my body. So it'll be a year of treatment
wow.
for me. Yeah.
John, I'm sitting here just thinking about even God's kindness in, you know, a situation that nobody would look at and say, you know, that they would wish upon themselves to pass out and crack your head open, but just seeing even God's hand in that, that he, you know, used that incident to lead to just the discovery of what's going on to be able to then start the journey of treatment. But, you know, this was unforeseen. This was, as I would guess, unwanted. And I think we can all relate to that. There are things that happen in our lives that we didn't see coming or that we wouldn't have chosen. But now that you're walking this road and on this journey, tell us, how is God meeting you in this season and just truly probably a season of suffering? How's God meeting you where you're at?
Yeah, it's been an amazing journey for us. And, you know, I wouldn't wish it on anybody, but we have seen God move in some amazing ways. And it starts from even the fact that my wife woke up in the middle of the night to find me laying on the floor.
Right.
Because I had left, we had rented a house and all the bedrooms were upstairs and I was not sleeping well, probably because I was in AFib and didn't know it at the time. I'd never experienced that before to my knowledge. So I had told her at midnight, hey, I'm going to go down to the couch downstairs so you can sleep. But something caused her to wake up and find me face down on the floor, gasping for air and bleeding. And if she hadn't have found me, you know, she may have woke a couple hours later, I may have not been here at all. So, and then, you know, some other simple things. We were there for a wedding. This happened on a Thursday morning. The wedding was on Saturday. They flew me to Colorado Springs, and I have two daughters, and they were coming to the wedding as well. They happened to be flying in. My daughter from Houston was flying into Colorado Springs, so she was there before my wife got there. And then my other daughter was, she lives in Denver, but she was on a business trip in Portland, and she flew to Denver and drove and beat my wife to the hospital. So both my daughters were at the hospital before my wife got there because she had to drive from where we were at, which was about a four-hour trip. So just to have my family there in the hospital with me as we started down this journey was an amazing blessing. And, you know, God orchestrated all of that really, really well. So,
John, I'm looking at a man with a really handsome scar from one ear across the top of your head to the other ear. And I'm also looking at a man who's not just smiling because God's given you a nice smiley face, but I'm around you a lot and I see your heart smiling. You know, when they take out 90% of a man's frontal lobe, and I understand that the doctor told you that that would be an area of your brain that would involve your analytical skills, and that's what you're the very best at. And now, you know, you're sharp as a razor and you're talking as clearly as you ever have and thinking as clearly, and your analytical skills are 100%. But in all of that, you know, what keeps your heart smiling through all the ups and downs of the treatments and the surgery and the, you know, predictions and everything else that surrounds you?
Yeah, I think for my wife and I, first of all, I have an amazing wife, amazing encourager. And she says all the time, like, I don't want to go, I want to make sure that my trials aren't wasted. Mm-hmm. I want to make sure my trials aren't, like, my pain is not wasted. And so we went into this and said, you know, we believe there is a God. You know, what do you believe? We believe there is a God. We believe he's in control. And whatever we're going through is part of his plan. And we may not understand it, but we're going to walk in faith. And we're not going to let this be, we want to be a witness of how you go through pain and trials as a Christian. So, and we're committed to that. And we still don't know how it's going to end up, right? I mean, could be a very good outcome, which we would allow some many more years on earth, and there may not be. And we're okay either way because we know God's sovereign, and if that's God's plan, then that's what we're walking in. We trust God. So,
and so, John, we're talking about resilience today, and you know, all of us that love you and look up to you, and I assume there's a number of Kennecuck alumni listening to this broadcast, and maybe you don't know John the way we do, but John runs a big chunk of this company, and we all admire the way you stand tall in your faith. You stand tall in the way you lead, but you continue to stand tall today. And John, you know, going into weeks of radiation and weeks and weeks and weeks of chemotherapy, but to still stand tall, you know, what does the word resilience with the Holy Spirit inside of you mean to you?
Yeah, resilience to me, as I think about the word, when I think about someone who's resilient, is they keep moving. They keep moving. Whatever's going on, we like to tell our girls, if you don't know, like if you can't see where you're headed in the future, take the next right step. Like, keep moving. Don't just get stalled out. Don't let life get you stuck. Keep moving. So that's where I think about people that are resilient. No matter what they've gone through, they will keep moving forward. You know, keep pursuing, in our case, pursuing a relationship with God, pursuing a relationship with our families and friends. And so that's what I think about resilience.
Love the way you modeled it.
You too. And I love, John, that you said, you know, you just keep moving. And that even reminds me, you know, we're sitting here at the table with Joe, who's been on his own journey for many, many years of pain and suffering and many health issues. You know, he's walked through two amputated legs, a leukemia diagnosis, you know, heart attacks, open heart surgery, lung surgery, and many more. And so, Joe, tell us from your, you know, story, what have you learned about resilience and how have you experienced that in your own journey?
Yeah, thank you, Beth Ann. You know, the Apostle Paul talks about the fellowship of our sufferings. And, you know, I've grown to love John a lot as his fellow worker over the last 10 years. But there's a love that I have for John now that's a whole lot deeper because we do fellowship in our sufferings. And yeah, Beth Ann, I still remember well, it's like an open wound of the first time the doctors told me they were going to have to amputate my left leg, and I could hardly get my arms around that. And then a doctor up at Mayo Clinic, I believe, told me the right leg was in as much trouble as my left leg was in. It was like, John, you've got a brain tumor. We're going to amputate 90% of your right frontal lobe. You're like, really? But yeah, there's a Bible verse, listening friends, that has just encouraged me so much as of late. And in fact, I made a little wristband. I wear it on my left wrist, and it's from Proverbs 24:16. And it says, a righteous man falls down seven times and rises again. As John said, you just keep taking the next right step. And fellow Christian listeners, you know, Christ calls us righteous. As hard as that is for us to swallow sometimes, and certainly for me, it's just almost impossible to swallow that word. But that's what he says. He calls the saints righteous. And so as ones who are called righteous by our Savior, who became our sins so that we could become the righteousness of Christ. He says that we, in our righteous status before God, we just keep getting up again and again and again and again. And I'm thankful, Beth Ann, and wouldn't trade it for anything. I wouldn't trade my old legs for my new plastic legs or graphite or metal. I don't know what those things are down there, but I wouldn't trade him if I could. The way God has allowed me to get deeper in the lives of hurting people, I wouldn't trade for it. The tears I've cried and continue to cry over difficult, you know, nights and things. You know, I get to shed tears with folks that shed tears, and I wouldn't trade for it. There's so many benefits of suffering. You just go down the list in the scriptures. There's so many. But I love what Nelson Mandela said. Do not judge me by my successes, but judge me by how many times I fell down and got back up again. Proverbs 24:16, John. How do you relate to that, dear Proverbs, right now?
I'll tell you, I struggle with the righteous man because I fail every day. But it reminds me, my initial surgery, it was crazy, really crazy. It occurred on a Monday. It was a two-hour surgery. They cut a hole in my, they basically scalped me, cut a hole in my head, take out my brain, sew it back up, and I was out in 2 hours. And then I was in ICU, but I was completely alert. They were testing me and, you know, what day is it? Where are you at? My girls were being smart, so they said, he's an engineer. Make it harder. Convert Celsius to Fahrenheit. And so they were doing some stuff like that. But I was completely alert, and, you know, I was not expecting that. I was expecting definitely some impact on my mental facilities. But 2 days later, I went home to my daughter's house out of ICU after having brain surgery, and my wife and I still kind of shake our head, like, what are we supposed to do now? You know? But then things went bad. You know, we had some swelling and we had some infection, and what ended up being, what we thought was going to be a week ended up being 7 weeks of back and forth trips and hospitals. And my Kathy and I just said, let's focus on getting a win today. We're both planners. We were trying to plan in the future, and let's get the radiation and the chemo. And I think the Lord was just telling us, just relax. I got this. And we would just celebrate if there was a win today. And if there wasn't, then we'll look for one tomorrow. You know, but we're not going to worry about the future. We're not going to worry about long-term what this means. We're going to focus on today.
Bethann, I recall a young lady who not so many summers ago, you were right in the middle of the busiest season of the year and time to go direct a camp. You and Melissa direct, as we said so many times before, a great camp at K-1 Girls. And, boy, God cut your legs out from under you. This little broadcast brings back some memories to you also, doesn't it, girl?
It does. And, you know, as I think back on that season, and I've shared this story before on the podcast of just walking through loss of siblings, and specifically this summer was the death of my brother, Nathan. And, you know, you get that call out of nowhere and it just stops you in your tracks and everything just kind of hangs for a moment. And I remember going home and was home for about 2 weeks and camp had already started, and I had packed up my car and we're standing in the living room next to our piano, and I'm just crying and looking at my dad like, I don't want to go back. You know, like, I don't want to keep taking steps forward. And he just looked at me and said, do you trust me? I said, yes, probably a little bit reluctantly. And he said, get in your car and go back. God's not finished with you yet. And so as I got in the car and went back to Branson, you know, I didn't immediately spring into like, okay, I'm resilient, I can do this. But it was just truly God was my daily bread every day. And resilience for me looked like getting out of bed in the morning and saying, okay, God, I feel pretty weak today, but what do you have for me? And how can I continue to serve even though I'm going through this really hard time? And so I think what I want listeners to know is that God is able to do more in you than you ever thought possible. The strength that you think you don't have, because we don't have it on our own, comes from Him. And so I love what you both are saying. If we just keep trusting God and we keep taking that next step, because we know as believers, His Spirit is dwelling inside of us and giving us power to face each day.
Yeah, and so just a scriptural encouragement in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9 and 10, Paul says, most gladly therefore, and those of us around this table will agree, most gladly therefore, I will boast about my afflictions that the power of Christ might dwell in me. And Beth Ann, sometimes it feels like just a tiny splinter of the cross, just a tiny splinter of the cross of what our Savior suffered for us. We get a chance, as Paul said to the Colossians, to be a part and make up for something in Christ's afflictions as we share his afflictions a bit. And in that, friends, in that we boast about our afflictions, that his power might be greater in us. And he says in that same book, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he says, we're always experiencing our body, the dying of Jesus, that so that in everyone who's listening, who's got a splinter of the cross inside of you, that John and Beth Ann and I are sharing the heart of this broadcast with you and the tears of this broadcast with you and the struggles of this broadcast with you, that are sharing in our struggles and our afflictions with family and with friends and with your physical ailments, that when we're weak, we're strong, and we're always experiencing the dying of the body of Christ, so that the power of Christ might be more present in our lives. The more we die, the more he lives. And in that, there's great encouragement. And in that, there's always hope.
There is. There's always hope. And I'd be interested to hear from you, John. What are some of the verses that have brought you hope and just comfort and encouragement just during this season and walking through suffering?
Yeah, thanks. As I was preparing for this, I actually went back. We've had a kind of a diary to communicate with family and friends. And so I actually went back and pulled some of the scriptures that I'd posted on Facebook and actually some songs. I love music, so music played a big part in it. But I will say, you know, the night I woke up at 2:10 in the morning before the day of the surgery, and I call it the dark hour, you know. It's like, do you believe what you believe, what you believe? And like, this may be it. And I was just kept coming back up to Psalm 23, and particularly verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And I just had complete peace. I can tell you, I just had complete peace going into the surgery. And so I'm also a big fan of James, the book of James. So in the book of James, first chapter talks about, consider it pure joy, right? Whenever you face trials, mm-hmm. because when you face trials, it's testing. You're testing your faith produces perseverance.
That's right.
And that's a really hard verse to take. But if you believe it, which I do, then I believe it was a trial that it mm-hmm. is a trial, still is a trial that we're going through today. So definitely those two verses stuck out to me a lot. And my wife and I, we've always leaned on Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him and he will keep your path straight. So, and that's, we just trusted God. We're still trusting God on
John,
this journey.
I love that verse you just said. That is one of my all-time favorites because it's true in every season. We can trust him at all times mm-hmm. because he's sovereign, because he's in control. And so as we wrap up our time here today, you know, we can establish that pain and suffering is going to be a part of each of our stories. It's the reality of life that none of us can escape. But as believers, we get to view our trials differently. We get to walk through them and keep taking that next step with hope because we know that this earth is not as good as it gets. This is not our final home, and we can trust you that God is going to use the pain and suffering. He's not going to waste it. Just like Kathy said, Lord, don't let me waste my pain. He's going to use it in our lives and then prayerfully in the lives of others that we get to share our stories with. So, John, we want to thank you for joining us today and sharing your story. And we would love to close this podcast out just with prayer, and especially just prayer for you as you head into this just journey of treatment. And we know, again, that many of you listening, you're in your own journeys, whether it's some sort of sickness or just trial in your family. And we're praying for you today, too. So let's pray. God, we thank you that you are a God who is in the details, and you are intimately acquainted with each of our ways, and you meet us in the middle of these stories that you're writing for us. And so, God, we thank you that even in pain and suffering, God, there is joy, there is hope, and there's comfort that's found in you, God, and you produce a resilience that could only come from your Spirit. And so, God, we do want to pray for John as he and Kathy travel to St. Louis and start this journey of treatment. God, we know that you are the great physician, and we ask, God, according to your power and your kindness, that you would do a miraculous healing. And God, we pray for their time there, that they would just get to be a bold witness, God, as they interact with many doctors and nurses. God, would you do amazing things? And we pray for our listeners out there, God, that you would remind them today that you're with them, that you see them, and that you love them, and that you will walk step by step, day by day with them as well. God, we love you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
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 We hope today's conversation left you encouraged, strengthened, and empowered. If you haven't had a chance, please subscribe to our podcast today to stay up to date with the latest episodes. If this podcast has helped you in any way, please consider rating us, writing a review, or sharing it with others so we can continue to build you up with an I'm Third approach to family, leadership, and spiritual growth. For more information about the podcast, visit CanacuckPodcast.com. And for more information about Canacuc, you can visit Canacuc.com.